So we're holding on page 40 in Shabbos, beginning Perek Bamet Tonin, Oschaches. Subject of this Perek is the dinim of Hatmona. I said wrongly yesterday, by the way. Perek Kira doesn't really focus on Hatmona so much. It focuses the first part of it anyway on Shehiyah, on leaving pots on the stove or in the oven on Shabbos, which is all another matter. But our Perek focuses more on the dinim of Hatmona, of wrapping up or insulating a pot of food to keep it hot on Shabbos. So the Mishnah mentions, among the Mishnah talks about things that you're allowed to use and not allowed to use for Hatmana. The Gemara explains why that should be. Anyway, the basic idea is you're allowed to use things that keep the heat of the pot, but not things that add more heat. So among the things that preserve the heat, the Mishnah mentions kanfei yona, you're allowed to use dove's feathers to insulate the pot. Not dafka doves, but that was the typical kind they used in those days. So having mentioned that, then the Gemara mentions something else involving kanfei yona, which is the story over here. Omer Rav Yana, tefillin tzrichin guf naki ke'elisha bal knafayim. When you wear tefillin, you have to keep your body clean like Elisha bal knafayim, who's going to be the hero of the story. Now, we don't explicitly see in the story that he was careful about guf naki, but the point is, Tosfos says, since we're going to see that a nes happened to him involving the tefillin, we have to assume, automatically, we should assume that he was keeping the highest standards while he was wearing them. Tosfos also talks about, Tosfos talks about at some length over here, some various details about the mitzvah of tefillin, some of which are negeya as far as mitzvah tefillin. First of all, Tosfos says the fact that we don't wear tefillin all day long is based on this, that the Gemara is going to say that it's very difficult for a person all day to be careful about these things. But then Tosfos goes on to say that that we tend to be very careless with this mitzvah, and Tosfos discusses the whole matter of how kafta delemanach tefillin, what does that mean? You actually find in the times of the later Bali Atosfos, where it's there's a well-known thing that Rav Moshe Mikutzi, the author of Smag, went around on his own Mivtzah Tefillin back in his time, and went around, he writes in his sefer, he went around to many kahilas in France and in Spain, where they had gotten very lax with this mitzvah, and he went and was over them about the importance of it. So that it started all the way back then, yeah. So in fact, the Sefer Achinuch, which was written in the following generation after the Smag, he also, when he discusses the mitzvah of tefillin, he says, you have many people who take the view, you know what, given that what we're saying over here, a person has to have proper kavana when he's wearing tefillin or whatever, maybe we're better off not encouraging people to wear tefillin, much like you had the same similar kinds of arguments were brought up beginning in Tafshin Chav Zayin after the Rebbe's mitzvah tefillin. And the Sefer Achinuch says, you know what, okay, people who make these arguments mean well, but the fact is, tefillin is such an important mitzvah, and it's such an important gateway to Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, that you should be making every effort to get Yidden to do it. So yeah, that argument is already, So Maihi, the Gemara says, what do we mean by gufnaki? Abaya Omer shalo yafiach them. A person has to be careful not to pass gas while he's wearing tefillin. Rava Omer shalo yisham behem. Rava says it means he shouldn't sleep in them, because when he's sleeping with tefillin, he may pass gas, he may even have keri. But in other words, Rashi says, Rava's point is that if a person is careful not to sleep in them, we can assume the average person is able to hold back gas, so therefore that wouldn't be a problem. That wouldn't necessarily prevent a person from wearing tefillin all day long. Okay, the Gemara says, "V'amai korele bal knafayim." Why was Elisha called bal knafayim? Shapam achas gozra malchus edom gzera Yisrael. One time, the Romans made a gzera against the Jewish people. Shekol amaniach tefillin yinaku as moichay. Anybody who puts on tefillin, they'll poke out his brain. Actually, he says yinaku and loshen nikure naim, like when you gouge out a person's eyes, so they'll gouge out his brain. His brain, obviously, because that's what you wear tefillin on. But Elisha didn't worry about the gzera, and he put on tefillin, and he went out into the marketplace. Ra'uhu kastur echad, a certain kastur sees him. A kastur is a Roman official. Rots miponov, so Elisha started running away from the Roman. V'rots acharav, and the Roman is running after him. V'kivin shehigia etzle, when the Roman came near near Elisha, not one made Osha, he took the tefillin off his head, but oxen biyodai, and he held them in his hand. Now, Tosfos actually brings up a point, which is what happened to Yehoreg Valyavo. This was a shasa. This is a classic shasa shmad. This is the Romans are trying to outlaw all mitzvahs. At that time, we know the Gemara tells us you have to be mosin nefesh even to change your shoelaces to start wearing the goyish style shoelaces. So Tosfos answers. So actually, this story is also brought later on in the Masechta. The Gemara mentions over there that mitzvahs that Jews were weak in the past, then they're weak in them even later, and they're not as mosin nefesh for them. And it brings the story again. Tosfos over there brings actually from the Rashbam that we see that even Elisha was not ready to go to an actual mesiras nefesh on them when the caster meets up with him. He tries to hide the fact that he's wearing tefillin. So even Elisha, you could say the mitzvah was weak by him in that sense. Here, on the other hand, Tosfos says that the vote is, it's one thing a person actively goes and wears different shoelaces, for example, so he's making himself look like a goy. Over here, though, not wearing tefillin doesn't make a person look like a goy. Many people don't wear tefillin all day. So therefore, there's not such a problem with it. Anyway, he took off the tefillin and held them in his hands. By the way, we have to assume that he wasn't wearing dalet al dalet tefillin like we wear. You wouldn't be able to fit those in your hands. You know, he was obviously wearing those tiny little tefillin that sometimes they found in archaeological digs with a velt, and they wear smaller tefillin anyway. The woman says to him, "What's that in your hand?" He says, "Dove's feathers." He opened up his hands, and a nest happened. The tefillin had, in fact, turned into dove's feathers. From then on, they called him Elisha, the master of the feathers or the master of the winds. And the word knafayim actually can mean both. So the Gemara asked, "Maishna kanfe yona mishara ofis? Why specifically dove's feathers rather than any other kinds of birds?" Meaning, in other words, that he had to say feathers. Fine, he had to say something, and feathers is a reasonable thing to say. But why after dove's feathers rather than some other kind of bird? So the reason is Mishum de Imtur Knesses Israel the Yona, because the Jewish people are compared to a dove. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Kan fe Yona nechba bakes for them, the wings of the dove that are covered with silver. So the mitzvahs, in other words, are like the wings that protect the Jewish people, as the Gemara is going to go on to say. That whole perek, Kapitel Samaches of Tilim, is talking about Yitzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah. So therefore it mentions the greatness of the Jewish people, that they have the wings of the dove. So what's the comparison? My Yonah Knefer Meginus Aleha, just like a dove's wings protect it. So Rashi explains, first of all, they protect it from the cold. And the feathers protect it from the cold and from other birds. And if anything comes to attack it, then it fights them off with its wings, unlike other kinds of birds. Pashtus, the idea is other kinds of birds will use their beaks, but a dove has doesn't have a very strong beak, so therefore it fights off attackers using its wings. A different explanation that some Mephoshim say is when a dove is in danger, it takes to its wings and flies away. So either way, the point is, afisur mitzvahs meginis aleihem, the same way mitzvahs protect the Jewish people. And so they're called particularly the wings of the dove, and therefore Elisha used that metaphor also when he's talking to the woman. This is, by the way, why when we wrap up our tefillin, also we make kan feyona of them, especially the shorosh, we wrap it up in such a way that it resembles the wings of a dove in token of the Gemara over here. Further on, the Gemara goes and talks about, now the Mishnah, again, mentions various things that you're allowed to do Hatmana with, one of them being it mentions you're allowed to use animal skins for the purpose. So then the Gemara mentions, the Gemara starts by saying, Yosef, Rabbi Yonasan ben Achinoi, Rabbi Yonasan ben Abelazar, these two Chacham are sitting together, and Rabbi Chanina ben Chachinoi was sitting with them, and they were discussing a halacha about Hatmana with skins. What kind of skins are we talking about? Aren't certain kinds of skins mukta? And so the Gemara has a whole sugya about that. Then the Gemara continues, by the way, since we're talking about these three chachamim sitting together, they also had another discussion. So now they were wondering, when we say later on in Masechta that there were 39 avos malachas, keneged mi, corresponding to what? Meaning, in other words, Tosfos explains the point of the question is that we learn the malachas from the Mishkan. That Gemara mentions further down on the Amud. but in the actual Gemara. But the question is, why Dafka 39? In fact, you have, when you get down to it, some of the Ovis Malachas are very similar. For example, Zoda, which is winnowing, Boda, which is sifting out the pebbles or whatever from the grain, Merakid, which is sifting the flour, all of those are very similar. You could have thought, why should those be considered separate Ovis? No more so, for example, than, let's say, planting a seed and planting a branch are not considered separate Ovis Malachas. So why should these three be considered separate? So why did they Dafka divide up the Malachas in such a way that you wind up with a number of 39? So Amar Reb Chanina bar Chama keneged avodas haMishkan. So Reb Chanina bar Chama says, yeah, it corresponds to the main types of work that they do in the Mishkan, that they did in making the Mishkan. But Amar Reb Yonasan bar Reb Elazar, kach Amar Reb Shimon bar Reb Yosi ben Lakunya. There's a different reason why Dafka 39 keneged malacha malachta malachas shabat Torah aboim chaser achas. It corresponds to, if you count up the number of times that it says the in the Torah the word malacha or malachta or malachas. Or on the bottom over here, it has a different gear, some malacha, malachton, and malachos, Shabbat Torah, and then you get to Arboim Chasachas. You get to 39. So corresponding to that is why there are 39 Ovis Malachas. Mind you, Rishonim point out, or Rabbi Hananel points out, and different other Rishonim and Achronim discuss the ins and outs of it. There actually are much more than that. There are actually around 60 times that it says in the Torah, the Shodosh Malacha. So why are we saying only 39 over here? So there's different possibilities. Maybe it's only Malachtoy and Malachas, or maybe there's various other reasons why the other ones don't count. Maybe, for example, many of them, it says in connection with the Yom Tovin, Kol Malachas Avodah Laisasu, maybe all those count as one, etc. There's different explanations. Anyway, so there are 39 of those, therefore corresponding to that, there are 39 Ovis Malachas. So now, Boy Rab Yosef, so Rab Yosef asks, what about one particular time that it says Malachta in the Torah, Vayovay Abaisa Lassus Malachta, when it says by Yosef that he came into the house to do his work, and then Potiphar's wife tried to get him, is that one of the 39 or not? Especially if we're saying that there are 60 odd of them in the Torah, then there's a reason to know, but there's a reason to ask. But Omale Abai Velasi Sefer Torah Velimni. So Abai says, what's the problem? Bring a Sefer Torah and count him, and we'll see whether you have 39 without that or whether that has to be the 39th. Milo Omer Rabba Babachana Omer Rabbi Yechanan. After all, don't we have that Rabba Babachana says in the name of Rabbi Yechanan in a different case, which Rashi says, I don't know specifically what that case was. He says, Loi Zozum Misham Ad Sheviu Sefer Torah Omanom. They didn't move from there before they brought a Sefer Torah and counted them. So what is this referring to? Rashi says, I don't know, because this line is also brought in Kiddushin. So Rashi says, maybe it's in connection with the Gemara in Kiddushin it mentions over there, what's the middle letter of the Torah? It says the middle letter of the Torah is the Vav of the word Gochoin near the end of Parashas Shemini. So then the Gemara asks, when we say it's the middle, do we mean that it's exactly the middle, or do we mean that there's an even number of letters in the Sefer Torah, and it's one of the two middle letters? So then the Gemara says, why don't we count them? And it brings the same line from Rabbi Baba Chana, Le'zozim Misham. So Rashi says, maybe that's what it is. Originally, they were able to do that. They actually were able to bring a Sefer Torah and count them and find the answer. But the Gemara ends up saying over there in Kiddushin, we can't do that anymore. Even in the time of the Amoraim, they weren't so bucky in Chaseiris V'Yaseiris. We're not so expert to know which words in the Torah are supposed to be spelt Mole with a Vav or a Yud and which ones without. And therefore, we don't have an exact count of the letters. So maybe it's in connection with that. Rashi says, in any case, that wouldn't be relevant over here. You're not going to say, obviously, that you're missing sometimes when it says malacha in the Torah. By the way, I mean, even in the times of the Gemara, we're saying they weren't baki in chaseiris v'yaseiris. Even now, for example, the Sefer Torah between most kehilas versus the Yemenites have a number of differences, including a couple of differences in mole and chasid. But the actual halacha is, for that reason, and in Hilchos Sefer Torah, is that if you find a mistake in Chaseiris V'Yaseiris when you're laning, as long as it's not something that changes the meaning or a letter from the Shodosh or something, you don't take out another Sefer Torah, because who says the other one is going to be more accurate than this one? Anyway, so now I buy. Yeah, you can have, for example, let's say the word Lavei Seichem. Sometimes it's spelled with a vav after the vase. Sometimes not. I'm saying, so you have a Masoda. There is a Masoda about them, but I'm saying we have a slightly different Masoda than the Yemenites. There's, for example, you have, for example, the word by when Cain says, God, Lavoni, Minisoi. So we have, I think in our Sifrei Torah, we have with a Vav after the Sin, and the Yemenites have it without, or maybe the other way around, I don't remember, but whatever. There's a couple of minor differences like that, but in Masoda. But in any case, we're saying, even when there is a known Masoda, you have, for example, also, for example, later on in our Masechta, in another piece of Ein Yaakov, the Gemara is going to point out a word that the Masoda of the Chachmei HaGemara was that a certain word is written Chosser. We have it in our Tanakhs, we have it Mole. And Rabbi Akiva Eger over there in Gurion HaShas gives a list of about 24 places all over Tanakh where we see many times where the Gemara had a certain Masoda about how a certain word is spelt, Mole or Chosser, sometimes even where we learn Halachas from it, versus in our Sifrei Torah, we have it different. So it's just, that's how it is. There's different Masodas. So I'm saying, so you'll look at any Sifrei Torah, as long as it was written correctly, then, yeah. How many letters are there? So how many letters, what? How many letters are there? There's a lot. I mean, there's many different words that could be written Mole or Chosser. So we have a Masoda on them. We have a Masoda. This one should be written Mole. This one should be written Chosser. But suppose the Sofer makes a mistake and writes one Chosser where it's supposed to be Mole or vice versa. We say that you don't take out a different Sefer Torah. I've come across mistakes in Sifrei Torah over my years in Leinian, but those were actually mistakes that required a new one to be taken out because it was a blatant mistake, not Chaseidus V'Yaseidus. The answer could obviously be that if there was a difference in Chaseidus V'Yaseidus, I just might not have noticed it because after all, the words pronounced the same. So yeah. The point is, Abaya says, so you're asking whether a Vayavai Abai Salasis Malachta is one of the 39. Count them. Let's see how many Malachtos it says in the Torah. Omalei, so Rabbi Yosef says, Kikamasapkali. No, it's not that I don't know how many Malachtos there are in the Torah. My question is, Mishum Dichtiv, on the other hand, you have another pasuk in Vayakov, HaMalacha Hoysa Dayam, where it says the Malacha was enough, where it says everybody's bringing materials for the Mishkan, and they told Moshe, you need to announce that everybody should stop bringing, and the pasuk is VaMalacha Hoysa Dayam. The Malacha was enough. So, Mimin Yonahu. So does that count as one of the 39? And now, obviously, if you count Vayova, Abai, Salas, Malachta as well, then you're going to have 40, and that's no good. The point is, the word Vahamalocha Hoysadayam, there's two ways of understanding it. You could understand that it means Malocha as the work. In other words, they had done enough work already to prepare the materials for the Mishkan that now they didn't need to do anymore. Now all they need to do is assemble everything together. Or it could mean that they had enough material to now start doing the work. So what does the word malacha there actually mean? So if you say v'hamalacha is a dayam counts, meaning that you would say that it means they have done a lot of work. Rashi gives, for example, let's say they had already beaten all the gold plates that they needed for the plating of the various kalim and whatnot. They had already done enough of that. Now all they need to do is start putting the gold plating onto the wood. In that case, then the word malacha actually means malacha. In that case, v'ho kamando amalasis tzirach of nichnas. In that case, the vayobay habayis alasis malachto would not mean malacha. It would rather mean that he was ready to be mezana with Potiphar's wife. And then you have the famous thing that demus diok nishal aviv, that the image of Yaakov appeared to him. Maybe Vayova Abai Salas Malachta does count, and it actually means Malachta. It means that he finished his work, and then Vahai Hamalocha Hoysadayam Hochikomar, and then the word Vahamalocha Hoysadayam would be the Shalom Le Avidda, would mean that now they accomplished everything they needed to as far as bringing the nedava. In other words, it wouldn't mean malacha per se. It would mean just the job of bringing the things. So teku. So it's left unresolved because we don't know. We have no way of understanding which one means actual malacha and which one doesn't. And therefore, we have two possible ways of understanding what vayova abai salas malachta does and what vahamalacha hoisadai means. So Akosif points out there's two things you can get from that. First of all, like this, it helps us understand the psukim, especially by Yovei Abaisa Lassus Malachta. We want to know, does it mean that Yosef was innocently going about his work and then Potiphar's wife goes and starts harassing him? Or does it mean that he was ready to give in already? Second of all, Akosif points out, you learn from this the importance of making simonim to remember things in your learning. Like this, we see that they made a simon, that there are 39 malachtos, and therefore, and then they're discussing the details of the simon. Marshall also adds over here that there's a symbolism then in the fact that the Mishnah uses the expression aboim choser achas. Why not say shloishim b'teisha? And the reason is based on our Gemara over here that there are actually 40 malachas in the Torah, but choser achas, one of them is missing. One of them, either lasis malachta or v'amalacha oisadayim, shouldn't count. We just don't know, as Rabbi Yosef is saying, which one is which. That's the symbolism then of using the expression choser achas. There's other points in it. Api Chassidus, for example, there's places in Chassidus where it talks about the idea that the malachas are aboim choser achas, in the sense is there is a 40th malacha to be done, which is the malacha of bringing down of bringing a lacus into the world. So that we do on Shabbos, just not through the 39 malachas. There's the idea that the malachas themselves have to be permeated with that echad. They can't be choser echad. There's also a point Rabbi Yitzchak makes in one of his writings that the miluyim of Shem Avaya, you have Shem Man, Ban, and so forth, the total number of letters in the four miluyim add up to 39 letters. So therefore, that's another reason why there are the 39 malachas. By the way, the Yerushalmi mentions that each of the 39 Obis Malachas has at least 39. The Gemara says Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish spent a couple of years researching it, and they discovered for each one of the 39 Obis Malachas, they were able to find 39 Tolus. The Gemara goes on to talk about a discussion of matters involving Dovashen Miskaven on Shabbos, whether it's also or Mutter. So that leads the Gemara into a discussion of using certain kinds of face washes or face creams or whatever, which may possibly make hair fall out. Where again, if Dovashen Miskaven is also, then you wouldn't be allowed to. If Dovashen Miskaven is Mutter, then you would be allowed to, provided it's not Psikuration. So the Gemara mentions in this connection, Amemo, Mazutra, Ravashi, Havu Yasvi, the Soda, these three Chachamim were one time sitting at a meal. Aisul Kamayu Badra, or Barda, they brought before them Barda, or Badra, which the Gemara previously explains, that it's a wash or a cream where they would mix one third aloe, one third hadassim, and one third violets. And then they'd mix it together. They'd make a concoction out of all of that, and they'd apply it to their skin. So now they brought some of that to them at this meal. Amemer Ravashi Mashu Yadayu. Amemer and Ravashi use that to wash their hands. Like you go nowadays to Sardis Shoals, for example. They have by Abdullah, especially for Burimin of Asamim, they have this rose water that they put on your hands, and that you smell that for Burimin of Asamim. So this would have been something similar. Anyway, so Amemer and Ravashi wash their hands with it. Mazutra did not want to wash his hands with it. Amri Lay, so they asked him, Lois Sovel, and this was on Shabbos. Don't you agree with what Rav Sheshes says, that's mutter because it's not necessary, it might make hair fall out on your hands, but it's not psikresha, and it's dovashen miskaven, so it should be mutter. But Rav Mordechai tells them, never mind what Mavzutra is doing. The fact that he's not washing his hands has nothing to do with Hilchas Shabbos. He would hold that you can't even wash your hands with this stuff on weekdays. The Savalaki Haitana, he holds like what it says in a Braise, the Tanya, Megarer Odom Gilde Tsoyav Gilde Makome al Basore Bishvil Tsare. A person is allowed to scrape off scabs of Tsoya, where he has where we don't mean actual Tsoya, that would prevent a person from davening. We just mean of dirt or whatever, like spots of dirt. The Gilde Mako, or scabs from wounds, May al Basore, he's allowed to scrape them off his skin, the Shvil Tsare, because of his tsar, if they're itching or otherwise making him feel uncomfortable. The Imbishvil Yapis Atzmed, but if he's doing it in order to beautify himself, Osir, then it would be Osir, because Lo Yovash Geva Simlas Isha, because a man is not allowed to do things such as like women do, and that includes beautifying himself like that. So Marzutra holds that washing with this Barda is also like what women do. Very much Hashgacha Pratis, by the way. Today's Daf Yomi also talks about the matter of Lo Yovash Geva, but in a different context, as far as shaving hair under the arms or in the base of Erva. So interesting that on the same day we have this concept twice. Anyway, so he holds you're not allowed to wash with it even on weekdays. By the way, Tosfos mentions another valid reason for tsar in that regard would be just if it looks bad on a person. He's going to go out with these scabs or whatever on him, and people are going to notice, and it's going to be embarrassing. Based on that, by the way, you have, for example, Rav Moshe has a tshuva on the subject of plastic surgery. Are you allowed to do that? A person wants to look nicer. Do they have a valid reason to go and get surgery for that? So usually not. But he says, for example, if it's because the person, their appearance is taka unattractive, and it's giving them trouble with shidduchim, or it's giving them trouble with other reasons socially, then there can be a heter for it based on this, because tsar because that's included in tsar as well. We don't just mean physical pain, but also mental pain like that. Anyway, so the inhu commands savarua. Well, then Rav Ashi and Ameimar, who did wash with the barda, commands savarua. Who do they hold like? What do they hold as far as lo yobash geber? The answer is kihod the tanya. They learn like what they hold like what it says in a brisa. A person should wash his face, hands, and feet every day, because of the kavod of Hashem who made him. First of all, Rashi explains, but selam alekim also as Adam. So therefore, a person needs to keep himself looking nice to be at selam alekim. Second of all, we know there's a halacha, it's in Masechta Brachas, that when a person sees beautiful people, you should say a bracha, shekocha loy ba'olamai. So you want to be able to look handsome and attractive. So therefore, they hold that's not included in lo yobash geber. Shenemar, Mishum Shenemar, because the pasuk says, Koyo pa'al Hashem lamatnehu, Hashem made everything for his purposes, meaning Hashem made everything for his glory. Shakol baruch v'odoy. So therefore, and Marsha adds, the face is obviously more tselem alekim. The hands and feet also are so to speak, they're closer in appearance to what you have lamayla, because you have 10 spheres, and corresponding to that, you have 10 fingers and toes. So therefore, those are the parts of the body that more reflect tzelem alekim, and therefore it's appropriate to wash them every day. And therefore they're holding that fine, washing them with barda is not so bad either. It's not lo yobash geber. Okay. The Gemara goes on to talk about the question of now throughout the perek, we're talking about the idea that you have dinim as far as insulating or wrapping up hot food to keep it hot on Shabbos. What about the other way around? You have a bottle of cold water and you want to keep it cold, so you want to wrap it up so that it'll stay cold. So are you allowed to do that? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, also lahat min asatzonin. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to insulate cold food so it doesn't get hot. Even though now the reasons the Gemara explains earlier of why you're not supposed to do hatmana, why you have rules as far as that you can only do hatmana before Shabbos, and even then you can only use things that preserve the heat rather than increase it, is because you have concerns over there. There might be live coals in what you're using to insulate it, and then you're going to stir up those coals, and you're going to be over on mevashel, and so on and so forth. So on the face of it, all that shouldn't apply when you're wrapping up cold food. Nevertheless, Rav Huna is telling us that it's still also. But the Gemara says, we learn in a braisa that Rebbe said you are mutter to do that. So the answer is, at first, before Rebbe had heard from Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yossi that it's allowed, then he held it's not allowed. And that's what Rav learned that from him, and in turn taught that to Rav Huna. Eventually, Rebbe heard from Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yossi that it's mutter, and then he accepted that, and therefore the halacha is that it's actually allowed to. So what do we mean? What was the story? Rebbe was one time sitting and saying the halacha. Also, you're not allowed to insulate cold food. My father, Rabbi Yossi, said you are allowed to. Omar, so Rebbe says, in that case, the elder Talmud Chacham has already said it's mutter. In that case, then I give up my opinion and I'm accepting his opinion. So we see that Rebbe changed his mind. So the Gemara says, Omar Papa, boyure kam machab vin zes zeh. Come see how much Chachamim love one another. She'ilu Rabbi Yossi Kayim, if Rabbi Yossi had still been alive in Rebbe's times, he would have to be subjugated and sitting as a Talmud in front of Rebbe, meaning that he, because Rebbe is the Nasi after all, and therefore Rabbi Yossi, even though he's a greater Talmud Chacham, would have to sit with Kabbalah's oil in front of Rebbe. And we know that the heart of Ishmael but Rabbi Yossi and Mala Mokma voice of Abba, because we see that Rabbi Ishmael but Rabbi Yossi fully filled his father's place. He was the same caliber as his father Rabbi Yossi. He was also a greater Talmid Chacham. And Rabbi Ishmael but Rabbi Yossi was sitting with humility in front of Rabbi. So we see that Rabbi Yossi, if he had still been alive, would have done the same thing as well. Yet we see that Rebbe now says, when he hears of something that Rabbi Yossi says, he says the Zokin has already given the psak, which means that he showed that he's greater than him. Maharsha points out, it's not just the fact that Rebbe changed his mind, fine, Talmid Chacham many times changed their mind, but usually you have the rule is when a Talmid Chacham is and in fact, once a Talmid Chacham has said something is mutter, you don't just go and say it's also. So once he finds out that Rabbi Yossi had previously declared it mutter, then that's how it should remain. The point that we see that from Chab ben Zeh is that he uses this expression, kvar horazokin, that he's saying so respectfully, the elder Talmud Chacham has already said this, implying that he shows that he's accepting Rabbi Yossi as being so much greater than him, even though he himself is the Nasi, and Rabbi Yossi himself would have had to be his Talmud if he was still alive then. Tosfos actually learns, what? Well, in other words, you didn't have to say that expression, kvar horazokin. That we said it would be a problem in the first place, because the same way as Hatmana with hot things is also so the same way the Chachamim would extend it to cold things as well, because people might not realize to distinguish one from the other. That was how Rebbe held originally. Tosfos also explains, by the way, that Rebbe started out as a Talmud of Rabbi Yossi, but Rebbe eventually became such a great Talmud Chacham that Rabbi Yossi would have been his Talmud if he had still been alive at the time. And nevertheless, Rebbe is still showing him great respect and great deference by saying Kvar Horizon. So the Gemara continues on this topic of hot and cold water on Shabbos. So Omele Rab Nachman the Doru Avde, Rab Nachman one time says to his slave Doru, two things on Shabbos. Number one, before Shabbos, Atmin Litzonin, or actually says it was on Shabbos. So first of all, he says, wrap up a bottle of cold water for me, and this was on Shabbos. And second of all, V'aisili Maya De'achim Kfila Arma, second of all, bring me some hot water that a goy had boiled. Now that second part, Rashi explains, was on a weekday. The point is that water, that hot water, there's no problem with Bishul Akhu. So Shomer Rav Ami Ikban, Rav Ami heard that Rav Nachman had said these things, and he objected to it, and he was machbid, and he was upset with Rav Nachman for doing that. Omer Rav Yosef, my time Ikban. So Rav Yosef says, what's the problem? Why is Rav Ami upset at Rav Nachman? Kedab Vosa Oven. After all, what he's doing is according to earlier Rabbeim, according to earlier Chachamim. Chodek Rav, Chodek Shmuel. One of his statements follows what Rav says, and the other is what Shmuel says. Kishmuel, the one about wrapping up the cold food, is like Shmuel. The Amr of Yehuda Amr Shmuel Mutal Hakim is Hatzonin, that Shmuel holds that you are allowed to. Meaning, in other words, we said before, Rav said it's also. Now, we said Rebbe changed his mind. Rav is not necessarily obligated to accept just because Rebbe changed his mind. Rav doesn't necessarily have to change his mind as well. So Rav may have stuck to his opinion that it's also, but Shmuel holds it's Mutter, and it's perfectly legitimate for Rav Nachman to follow Shmuel in that. So what's wrong? And B'chirav, and as far as the part about the water, about the hot water boiled by a goy, what's the problem? That would be like what Rav says. The Amr of Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchok Amar Rav, Kol Shul Necho K'mos Shul Chai, anything that can be eaten as it is raw, Ein Ben Mishum B'shul Enochrim, then there's no issue of B'shul Akum with it. So what's the problem? But the Gemara says, well, who suffer? Odom Chosh of Shiny, Rav Ami, though, held that an important person is different. If he starts being makel, even with things that are legitimate heterim, other people are likely going to be makel even further. And therefore, Rav Ami held that Rav Nachman should have held himself to higher standards and not done these things, which other people might then misunderstand and take even greater kolos from them. The subject of the perek is about what kind of equipment or gear or whatever is an animal allowed to go out, or you're allowed to have your animal go out with him, Rosh Hashanah, on Shabbos, and whatnot. You have different things. For example, you have things that are needed in order to keep the animal from running away are allowed, but only the actual thing that you need, not something stronger than it needs or something weaker that's not going to do any good. And you have different things throughout the parak of things that are allowed and not allowed. So the Gemara says, So the Gemara had a discussion about now where a donkey. The Gemara goes on to explain further down on the Amud in the Gemara, a donkey always feels cold. There are many places in Chassidus where it talks about that b'avoda, that a donkey therefore represents a person who feels a coldness in avoda. Anyway, a donkey always feels cold, and therefore you'd want to put a kind of saddle blanket on it called a maudas in order to keep it warm. So there's a discussion in the Gemara whether you're allowed to do that, and also whether you're allowed to put a feed bag on an animal on Shabbos, because is that really necessary for the animal like this? I mean, it's a nice treat for the animal. This way, it doesn't have to bend down and graze or whatever to get the food right out of the bag or tied to its mouth. But are you allowed to do that on Shabbos? So the Gemara says, Kisolik Reb Zera, when Reb Zera went up to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkechel Reb Binyamin Bar Yefes, the Yosef Gomar, like, Mishmeid Reb Yechanan, he found Reb Binyamin Bar Yefes was sitting and saying a halacha in the name of Reb Yechanan. Noistin Maudas, Agabi Chamur B'Shabbos, you are allowed to put the saddle blanket on a donkey on Shabbos. So Reb Zera tells him, Yishar, well said, like Yashapoyach, V'chein Tirgumar Aryeich B'Babel. You should know that Aryeich also explained it that way in Babel. So the Gemara says, Aryeich Manu, who is named Aryeich? That is Shmuel. Now, why is Shmuel called Aryeich? So this point that Shmuel is called Aryeich is mentioned in a few places in Shas. So, and there's a number of different points. Rashi over here explained that Shmuel was very expert in Dine Mominus. In fact, the halacha is generally like Shmuel and Dine Mominus against Rav. And he was judging people like the way a king judges. So therefore, there's a word in Aramaic for king, Richa. So therefore, Aryeich is related to that. So therefore, they nicknamed Shmuel Aryeich, which means the king. Tosfos explains further that it's not just any name of a king. There are lots of kings out there, but we actually find a king of that name in Chumash, Aryeich Melech Alasser. Furthermore, Tosfos points out that you have the word Ari in it, which means a lion. So therefore, that also represents Shmuel's greatness in Torah. There's different other places. Where Rashi gives a few different explanations. There is also a vote that's brought in Sefer Yochsin. Yad Yosef brings it over here on the side that we know the halacha is generally like Shmuel and Dine Mominus, but not outside of Dine Mominus, not in Dine Iser Vehetu. So therefore, Davka, they use the name Aryeich, which is Melech El Losser, which suggests the word Al Isur, not in the case of Isurim. So Shmuel is the king, but not when it comes to Isur Veheter, then Rab is the king. There is also somebody wants to explain that Aryeich was the name of the was one of the names of the king of Persia, who also ruled over Babel at that time. And so the same way as we find in a few places in Shas, where Shmuel is called Shabur Malka, which was the name of the next king, the same way in a few places is called Aryeich, which is the name of the earlier king. Anyway, whatever the case, Reb Zera says that Aryeich explained it, which is Shmuel explained it that way in Babel. So the Gemara asks, why is he only mentioning Shmuel? Well, Rav Nami Omra, the point about being able to put a saddle blanket on a donkey, Rav agrees with that also. So you should have said both Rav and Shmuel say that. Ella, so no, rather, it's not just because of the saddle blanket. Shameh Davim Messiah Bey, Reb Zera heard Reb Binyamin Bayefis said not only that point, but he also continued the next part of the halacha, the Ein Tovim Traskel B'Shabbos, you're not allowed to tie a feed bag onto an animal's mouth on Shabbos, because that would already be considered when the animal is walking around, the Chesed Abim, that would be considered carrying. It's not really necessary for the animal. It's only a tiny bit for it. Omula Yishar. So now on that, Reb Zera is telling him, Yishar Yashkoyach, Vachain Tirgama Aryeich B'Babel, because that's how Aryeich said it in Babel, because the Gemara established earlier that Rab holds you would actually be able to put a traskel as well. Shmuel disagrees. This is Maudas, yes, because then the animal will be very uncomfortable, it'll be cold, but a traskel not, because it's only for the animal's pleasure. So now Reb Zera is telling Reb Binyamin Bayefes that what you're quoting in the name of Reb Yechanan agrees exactly with what Shmuel says. Habona at the bottom of the page points out that there's two things that a king is supposed to accomplish. He's supposed to judge the people and he's supposed to fight on their behalf. So now Shmuel accomplished both those things, that he was a bucky in judgment and in Dinim Mominus, as Rashi says, and he was judging. And number two, as Tosfos says, that he also the word Aryeich contains the word Ari, so he was also powerfully fighting on behalf of the Jewish people of his time. Therefore, he deserves that title Aryeich, because those are the two things that a Talmid Chacham needs to be accomplishing. Yom Yom Mashiach Go'ola, Rosh Chodesh Nissen. You have the in the Alter Rebbe's Shulchan Aruch that there's the minhag to say the parashas Anasi, the parasha of the particular Nasi who brought the korbanos that day. So now the Rebbe talks about Nesicha, that Yesh Loimar, that this minhag of reading the parashas and Nesiim in Nissen has to do with the whole concept of Geula in Chodesh Nissen. Nissen is the Chodesh of Geula, but Nissen Nigal or Nissen Asidin Legal. The very name Nissen itself includes the word Nes. So therefore, we read in the month of Nissen, we read the korbanos of the Nesiim, of the Chanukas HaMishkan, because Chodesh Nissen is the most appropriate time for the Geula HaMikdash Vashlema, and then we will have the Chanukah space in Mikdash HaShlishi, which is, that completes the job of the Mishkan and the Mikdash, and therefore, so we read about the Chanukah of the Mishkan at the time when we're most likely to have the Chanukah of the Beis HaMikdash. Continuing with Halachas on fragrances, so far we said if it was a fruit, then it's ashenos and reyach tov baperis. If it's something else from a tree, wood or bark or what have you, then you say boda atzah b'samim. If it was from an herb or something like that, then it's boda isvei b'samim. And now if it's none of the above, for example, musk, then you say it boda mina b'samim. Another example he says would be certain kinds of mushrooms that when they're dried have a good flavor. So there also, he says, nearly, it seems to me that you should say Burmina Basamim, because again, mushrooms are, even though they grow on the ground, Halacha doesn't consider that they actually get their nourishment from the ground, they get their nourishment from the air, that's why they're Shakol, so by the same token, they'd be Burmina Basamim. Then another halacha, you have this shemen afarsim and balsam oil that grows in Eretz Yisrael. We had earlier in our Masechta, we had a short piece about it, where even Rosaradin, it said, left behind in Eretz Yisrael after the Churban, left over certain people who were experts at collecting and producing that. So because it's so important, it grows in Eretz Yisrael, so the Chacham set up a special bracha for it. You say the bracha bodesh shemen orev, that Hashem created fragrant oil. Now, Hanani ben Akasha, Matzah, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Zakas Yisrael, Fikir Balaam, Kamitzah, Shneimah, Adventure, Mitzvah,